Hey everyone, it's Tom. We've got a cool little game you can play if you go over to our website, www.talkaranriod.com. It's a survey pitting two random Wheel of Time characters against each other and asking you to vote which character is more of a main character in the books. The combinations are nearly endless, so keep voting as much as you'd like. We'll reveal the final results in a special episode soon. Remember, vote early, vote often.
We kill a lot of people on our show. Well, we don't kill them. They die while we're recording or around the time we're recording.
So. Michael Winslow dies tonight.
Yes. Dan thought we might have killed Tina Turner by going to California. That's my talk around Riyadh thing, just being like the ruiner, like when Tom went to California and killed someone.
Oh, yeah.
Nick Edenhart wasn't quite the level of Tina Turner.
Completely.
Well, nobody's died in our live chat, so.
Oh, while they were in the chat?
That's true.
Yeah. We haven't had that.
All right, so you're all safe for now.
Oh boy!
God, how would we know? They would just stop talking. We would find out later.
Well, they'd still be in the chat. They'd like
and right. A couple of times we've come in the next morning and Skeeter had still been there.
But he just sleeps though.
The police would show up and they'd be like, and on their computer was the Talk Around Riyadh live chat. Still
just,
open.
They just hear us talking when the police show up, knock down the door.
But who is this?
Us saying something stupid. Like, come on, put your hands up, let us in. And it's just us talking.
Oh
well, they used the one power and they couldn't counter.
That's not how we sound.
That's exactly how we sound.
No, I have gray eyes.
Yeah. All right, I think we need to start our...
Let's do a show.
Our podcast. Welcome to Talk Around Riyadh, the Wheel of Time showcast. I am your host, Joe Perry, here with my co-hosts, Jen Isgrow and Tom Kokoza. Jen, how's it going?
It's going good. I just 2 minutes ago realized I didn't have anything prepared to say right now. I'm trying to think of what I did this week. I already talked about California last week. This week was pretty normal. Yeah, that's it. I don't have anything exciting. I'm happy to be back with you guys talking about Wheel of Time. Some good little news tidbits and a good topic. So that's all. I'm just excited to get started.
Remember, do they still make tidbits? You know, like the little cheese snacks?
No.
They were called tidbits?
They were called tidbits. They looked like, I'm trying to think of a good description of what they look like. But they're kind of like oval, elongated little crackers. And they tasted kind of like Cheez-Its.
Tidbits.
Yeah.
I have a vague memory of
other
Cheez-Its.
Somebody
Google it.
Nibs? Were they nibs? No, I thought they were called tidbits.
Nibs. Dana. They were cheese nibs. Cheese nips.
Cheese nip. Tidbits crackers. They're right here on Amazon.
Yeah, there we go. Post
the
picture in Discord for us, Jen.
Let me see if I can copy the photo.
All of our listeners are like, where are we going with this? Tom, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, Joe. I think that once again, Jen has casually revealed one of the reasons why I'm the third most important person on this show, and the fact that she prepares and thinks about what she's going to say usually in these segments, where I literally just do a stream of consciousness talk. I'm doing
far
well.
Out, man.
Hey, look, you know, sometimes the show speaks to you. Anyway. Yeah, this should be a fun week. We have a good topic that we delayed, I think, 2 weeks in a row to do a deep dive. So I'm ready to do it.
So, sorry, I'm looking at the tidbits picture, and yes, it's exactly, they kind of
really
tasted
old.
Like Jesus. They were good, though. I wonder what happened to them. I don't know. Maybe we could find them. Maybe we'll find out what happened.
Looks like something you would get on a plane, like as a plane snack. It's like not really that good.
A plain
snack. But you're hungry, so you just eat it, whatever they give you.
I'm going to have to put a note in here to add link to tidbits in the show notes so people know what we're doing. All right, let's move on.
Thank you.
welcome back to another edition of Where's What Origins. We've got, what do I want to say? We're closer to the release date of season 2, which we know, but we still don't know Where What Origins is or even have a release date. Do either of you think we're going to get an announcement soon?
Do we know, is there a season 2? Like, I know we're waiting for like 2 episodes. That's what this whole thing has been about, what we'll be looking for. But is there a confirmed season 2 of What Origins that's been like created?
I think so, yeah. They talked about it at New York Comic Con, I believe.
That's not just the
and
two
also
lost
San Diego
Comic Con.
There's
extra episodes.
They're going to be doing more for each season, I believe.
Okay.
That's the plan. Because isn't Rami Park, isn't she directing some of them this?
Yeah, she was. I just didn't know if that was like just for those 2 episodes or if that was.
No, I think they're going to be doing more.
Okay.
So it would stand to reason that we're going to get those 2 lost episodes, the lost episodes before season 2 comes out, right?
Maybe.
I want a prediction. Give me a date or a month or something, you know.
I predicted already November. What did I say? November 12th.
So you think it's going to come out after the season 2 ones come out?
No, I think that prediction was more for like the season 2 ones. I don't know if these are ever going to come out.
They exist.
It's too late. That doesn't matter.
So they're just
things exist
keep
that never talk to Batgirl.
When does season 1 premiere on Freevee again? Do we remember?
They didn't give us a date. They just said, I think, in the summer. It might be available.
I'm going to say when that happens, they're just going to unceremoniously have the other 2 episodes released as well.
Yeah,
the first 4 episodes were available on my plane on the way home, so I thought that was cool. Right. On like the Alaska Airlines app.
Of the Origins?
No, I'm sorry. The actual show.
Oh.
I thought we were talking about
the
show.
Who cares about
that,
Jen?
We're talking about the show being released on Freevee. So I'm saying it's actually on other places right now for free. Except I had to pay for the plane ticket, so I guess it wasn't exactly free.
I think we're going to get them before the show comes out, before September 1st. And then this, you guys know we're getting closer to the end of this segment, right? And we're not going to be able to prepare for it. It's not like we're going to know this is our last segment. It's just going to be, that's it. We just stopped doing it.
That's the saddest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like life in a way, I guess, but it's really sad.
Any episode
some people
could be
though
our last
do know when they're
going to
die.
Of Talk Around Riyadh. Any of these could be our last episode.
Yeah.
Unless we carry on or we all, whatever. I won't say it. Oh my God. No. No. I'm going to put that out there. But yeah, I guess we have to make sure the segment's good every week then.
Yeah. Just like this. Just like this one.
Exactly.
All right, let's get into some news. I did want to go back to last week when they did release the release date and those first look images. There was a lot of activity on Twitter, and Sarah Nakamura, who's the book consultant on the show, was tweeting a lot. And there was just one thing I wanted to point out because I know this one got a lot of reaction to it, so I wanted to talk a little bit about it. So Sarah says, season 1 had its challenges. Season 2 fans must gird their loins big time, and that's in caps, for book to show changes. However, aside from that, it's a really excellent season on television. She might have meant of television. Whatever else, I'm certain everything is going to be okay. Are you surprised, Jen, that there are going to be big time book changes or story changes?
No. I mean, we already know that Rand and Matt and Perrin are not together. So that's a pretty big story change.
Yes.
And everybody has to kind of be where they are at the end of The Dragon Reborn. Not physically, but like emotionally and like ready to move to like that, basically skip a book. So we have to get everything done. I mean, Dragon Reborn and Great Hunt are very similar, like in structure, but they're not the same story.
No.
So it's not, you know, you have to kind
of. Well, I mean, the only thing that's the same is the girls get captured or, you know, some of the girls get captured.
Yeah, but it's like a lot of people traveling to get somewhere for a reason, but the reasons are different. The events are different.
The locations are different.
Yeah. I mean, Vienda's with Perrin. It's just like, I think we already knew that there were a lot of big changes.
I almost want to respond to this tweet and be like, big time, like in addition to the things we already know.
Yeah, right.
or is that including the things we already know? Because remember, when they were talking about season one before it came out, they would talk that there were changes, but nobody ever said, like, there's going to be big time changes. No one associated with the show. So does this mean, like, right, if we say season one on a scale of 1 to 10, changes was 4, does this mean we're going to get, like, an 8 or 9, like, double the amount of changes from season one?
Maybe. If it's good, like, I honestly don't even care at this point. Like, we had a lot of changes in season one, and it's still, like, the story worked out. You know, it was good. We got where we had to go. The main plot, like they said, the main plot points were hit. Like, if people were, like, broadly describing it, it was the same, you know? But yeah, a lot was different. No Caemlyn, the Aes Sedai, all that stuff. So, yeah, to have more, double that is a lot of changes, but I think I'm ready for it. I think at this point, like, most of us who have been, like, following the news all this time are, like, ready to let go and just enjoy whatever it is.
Yeah. I always wonder. Because
the characters are all the same, you know? I mean, it's.
Yeah, and I always wonder, like, when they're doing this, my original thought, you know, just like taking this as a whole and going back to when we first started and thinking about, you know, how they're going to cram 14 mm-hmm. very large books into a, whatever, 7-8 season show, if we're light willing. And I just imagine that they were going to cut a lot of stuff and just change some stuff, what they needed to do to make the cuts make sense. Because if you think about the story, you can cut a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And it really wouldn't affect the story. There might be like, oh, well, who does that or how does that happen thing, where you can easily just, you know, put a change in there to fix that. But it seems like they're really going more with changes. And I don't know if that partially has to do with that they're changing the medium from, you know, print to television. But yeah, it's just interesting that it was said big time in capital letters when we didn't get anything like that with season one. Yeah. So,
well, maybe she's allowed to talk a little bit more now about it since we've seen season one and we know what they did.
Actually, she said, I'm sorry, she said gird the loins big time for book to show changes. She didn't say there were going to be big book to show changes. But it's almost the same thing. It's the same spirit.
Yeah. I mean, I'm reading Crown of Swords right now, and I already feel like I'm getting, like, there's a lot going on, but it's like Egwene in the camp, like, talking to this person, then she talks to this person, then she's talking to this person, and she's having 100 dreams. And like, like, I feel like you ever, like, read a book and then watch the movie and then you go back and read the book again and you're like, oh my God, just like get to it. Or like, you already know what's going to happen and you're like, just get to the good parts. You know, it's like, so.
Oh.
Yeah, I think a lot of what?
Rao just found an article. The first season of The Wheel of Time will also stream for free on Amazon Freebie for 1 month starting July 14th.
1 month
which is,
only.
Which is WattCon. So yes, maybe we'll get the Origins episodes. Well, look. So while we're going to have to say goodbye to the Where's What Origins, when it's released, you know we're going to do like an impromptu, I don't know, something.
An impromptu something.
We'll do an impromptu something.
There'll be new segments.
Yeah.
There are always new segments popping up.
Always new segments. All right. let's get on to some news. We had a couple of casting announcements, or not maybe castings, but a couple of suspected casts. I think one was actually maybe confirmed by Watt Series, and the other one is they're not so sure. So I'll talk about that one first. So WattSeries.com reported, quote, award-winning actor Shora Agdashloo was spotted among the cast on a Wheel of Time set in the Czech Republic. So, Shora Agdashloo. So she's a fairly famous actress. People know her maybe from The Expanse. If you're a big fan of The Expanse, she was on that. She was a pretty prominent character on that. She was really awesome in that. She was also, I was surprised to find this one out, that she was in House of Sand and Fog. I remember that movie. I saw it after reading this. I was like, oh, she was Ben Kingsley's wife. That was a good movie, and she was very good in it. Actually, I remember her character distinctly, and I didn't even know who the actress was. That's how good she was in it. She actually earned an Oscar nomination for that. And she's also won an Emmy for The House of Saddam. So we're talking a qualified actor here. Now, if you remember a little while back, the Twitter Time fandom really wants Shora to play Cad Swain. So there were a lot of people posting about it online. And then I guess they were tagging Shora in it. So at one point she, it was back on December 18th of 2021. Somebody had posted about her playing Cad Swain. And she said, what is it about all these suggestions, me playing a character in the Wheel of Time? And she added the Wheel of Time. She's like, why do you want me to play Cad Swain? And then she says, hi, at Rafe Judkins. The fans say we need to talk. And then Rafe basically said, oh, yeah, let's figure this out. So we've got her now.
That's really how it started? Like that?
That pretty sure it was Twitter. Rafe mentioned that, I don't know if you remember this, but he said, you've been on my mood board for a certain character since 2018.
Oh, my God.
So Rafe already had an idea of who he wanted her to play at that time. I'm going to ask you, before we even get into the additional information in this article, just quick, do you think she's going to be Cad Swain?
I don't know, because do you think Cad Swain's going to be in the third season?
That's the question. Maybe? That's a good question.
That's why I'm not sure.
And what I will say is, just to quote the article, so she was seen on set, right? So she was on set for season 3 filming that took place late in May at the Vranov Nad Dzhi Castle. And a production filmed at the castle on May 22nd of 2023, quote, filmed scenes in the ornate hall of the ancestors where the banners of the White Lion were on display. Mm. What does that make you think of, Jen?
Andor.
So is this the royal palace?
I mean, White Lion. Yeah, that makes sense. I'm trying to think of, could Cad Swain be in Andor now? Yeah, sure. Why not? Gird your loins.
Big time.
Like, whatever. I don't know. But I know Elida has been thrown out there too, because that makes sense in the story for her to be in the palace. Mm-hmm. But I really want Natasha O'Keefe to be Elida. So, but now I don't know, because there's so many things, because Rafe had said in the JordanCon video, like, the character he's most excited to see is Elida.
But yeah, like, in the future. Yeah. So it sounded like.
Does he mean the future of like what we're going to see, or the future of what he's seen?
Yeah. It didn't sound like he was choosing his words carefully when he said that. It just came out. So to me, I think that she's not in season 2 as much as I want her to be and I hoped for her to be. I don't know.
So
I was going to ask Tom what your thoughts were. Cad Swain in season 3 or even Shora as Elida?
I will say this. Shora as Elida, it didn't fit for me at first. And I think part of the reason it didn't fit for me at first is that I pictured Elida, I guess, the same age as...
Yeah.
I pictured her the same, looking the same age as the people who are playing Moraine and Swan look in the show. Even though she's older, but I pictured them looking younger as well, so whatever.
She's not that much older, though. Didn't we talk about this at one point?
She's like, what is she, like 10, 15, 20 years?
I think she's a little older than them.
Yeah, she's a little bit older. Like, I always thought she was much older than them, but then I think we found out that she really wasn't that much older.
No, she's not that much older. She's relatively young.
She's not their generation, though. Yeah, like, she's before, nah, she was an Aes Sedai before they came.
Yes.
Yeah. She's relatively young for an Amyrlin as well. Yeah, I have to say, I'm not familiar with her work. I've never watched The Expanse. I've never seen House of Sand and Fog or anything else that she's done. What?
I said, or House of Saddam.
She was on an episode of Law and Order Special Victims Unit, as everyone was.
Right.
Yes.
In 2011. So that's the only thing I've seen her in.
She was also on 24 as well. The show 24.
And she did play like a little bit evil in that.
She has that side
to her.
Yeah, that's your homework for today, Tom. Go watch something that Shora was in.
Tom, watch The Lion Guard. She's in 4 episodes of she plays Queen Janna in The Lion Guard, Tom.
Okay. So, yeah, I didn't have a rooting interest for her to play Cad Swain or anybody else. As I've mentioned before, I will be fine if Cad Swain's not on the show. She's one of my least favorite characters. So, if she plays Elida, then my hope is still alive.
So, yeah, I think she's going to be Elida. I don't know how they bring Cad Swain in so early. I don't know how they bring her in, spoiler alert, while Moraine's still around. You could work her in when you work in Taim, but I don't know if you're going to get Taim in season 3. I think it's early for all of that. Yeah, it is early for them. I think they might be the next season. So I'm starting to think more now that she's Elida. I mean, she'll be awesome, but I was kind of, I don't know. I'd rather she had been somebody else, like Cad Swain or something, but, or Cerulea, one of the wise ones.
She's not old enough. I feel like Cerulea has to be really old. like Maggie Smith old, like almost 90.
No, you can't. Stop doing that. Stop casting people who are 90 years old.
No, I'm saying.
It's season three of your 8-season show.
I'm not literally casting her, but she has to be old. Not like.
She's sure. Showray's
82?
Yeah, she's old.
No.
No, I don't think she's 82. I don't know if she's 82.
1952, she was born. She's not 82.
Oh. She's like 71. 71.
She'll be, she just turned 71.
She could be Cerulea.
No, she's not. Cerulea is over 80 looking, I think.
I don't know how old Cerulea is actually, but.
I'm going to look that up too.
So my other question, unrelated to actually Shora, is, right, filming in the Royal Palace of Camelin in season three, do we ever get any Camelin in book four? I don't even remember if they go to Camelin or anyone goes to Camelin.
I just have to stop you for 1 second.
Yeah.
She's over 200 years old.
Cerulea?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
That's what it says on the internet. You know, the internet always is right.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, sorry. Back to the Royal Palace of Andor.
Yeah. What's the Royal Palace of Andor doing in season three?
Raveen.
Yeah.
No. No.
So Elida is in Camelin with Raveen.
Let me think. Maybe Elida leaves at the beginning. And then, No, Asmodian is the end of book four. I have no fucking idea. I don't know. Raveen should be season four, right?
Should die in season four.
I think they're going to cut that whole story out. There's going to be no Raveen and Camelin, no more gays. I don't see how they fit it in there.
But then why are they in? If there's no more gays, then why even go to the Royal Palace of Andor?
Well, because the significant parts of the story take place in Andor over the next.
Yeah, but not now. Not at this point.
I think they want to introduce it. We don't even know. Maybe they was filming there this season two. And we just didn't see it. I don't know.
I mean, I want more gays to be in it, but I don't know. I feel like she could be lifted out.
Well, she could be in it. She's just not going to have a huge storyline. Like, she'll just be in a scene or two. And hey, this is Elaine's mom. She's the queen. That's about it. That's all you're going to get. Maybe a conversation. There's going to be no story following her, though. But, I'm baffled. I don't know what's going on in season three in Andor and Camelin. Flashbacks?
Well, if you see Elida and then she leaves and comes to,
the White Tower.
They could be like messages, and Morgaces could be like, where's my daughter? Like, I need you to go to the White Tower for me now and figure out where she is. Tell me where she is, and then she goes there, and then the whole shit starts up.
I like that. I like that, Jen.
It works for me.
You like it? Yeah, it works. I like it.
Mark it with pen.
Put it down. Write it down somewhere.
Write it down.
Save it.
We need to have like a file where we write all our predictions down. We should do that.
Yeah, that's the first time we said that.
It's not.
That crashes against the rocks of none of the three of us want to actually do it. One of the other ones to do it.
Joey, come on. You do it. You have a file open already. Come on.
I do. Then I have to type notes, though. I don't want to type any notes.
Come on. I found the tidbits picture for you. Okay.
You did. You know, we could just go back and listen to the episodes. We'll listen to every episode and try to find
all the episodes. Okay, yeah.
Try to find predictions.
Yeah, good.
any other guesses on who she might be playing? So you're pretty much on it's either Cad Swain or Elida. Cerulea, for me, is a possibility.
She could be a Forsaken. I don't know who, but she could, right?
Mogedion? Why would Mogedion be the Royal Palace?
I don't know.
Missana wouldn't be there either.
Missana? Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea.
Those are my three. Those are the only possibilities.
Rand wouldn't be in Tar Valon in season one.
Yeah.
But he was. So you really can't say anybody wouldn't be anywhere. Like, you're saying Cerulea could be in the Royal Palace of Camelin. Like, that doesn't make sense.
That doesn't make sense.
Who knows?
Either.
Maybe in a dream.
Maybe they're telling. That's our excuse for everything. Oh, no, it's a dream. It's a dream. Every photo we get, is it a dream? Is this a dream? Are they in Tel Aviv?
Occasionally we're right.
Yeah, that's what the show is.
If you say it enough times, one of them has to be right.
It's in the name of our show, people. All right, let's go on. There's another piece of news that I wanted to talk about before we get into our main topic. Watt Series has also identified another actor, Luke Featherston, who is expected to be in season 3 of The Wheel of Time. Quote, Featherston was in Prague in late May of this year. Now, I assume there's more. They have more than that to know that he's on the show. But that's all they shared with us. So, season 3. So this Luke Featherston guy, he's some might say he's handsome.
Yeah, I'd say he was.
Would you, Jen, you'd say he was?
Yeah, I think he is.
He had a leading role in Flowers in the Attic, The Origin, which was a limited series. And he's also in an upcoming release called Big Mood, an Apple TV series still up. So there you go.
Oh, he's British. In some pictures, he has like a Cillian Murphy look to him.
It's the eyes.
Yeah, I'm trying to find his. I was going to try to find his Wikipedia, but I don't think he has one. Cold, lifeless.
A doll's eyes, yeah. Thoughts on who Luke Featherston could be playing in season 3? They don't know if he appeared in season 2 at all.
So,
okay. Jen, you go first. No, I don't have a thought. You go. I was just making noise.
Oh, okay. my first thought was that he was Lord Luke.
Because of the name, right?
No. Not because of the name, okay. Because of his face. He looks like Yosha Shadowsky, I think. And I was like, oh, okay. We were just talking about this the other day. And then I know other people also felt that he looked like Yosha and thought that he might be playing Janduin, which works as well. So both of those characters we expect to see
expect to see Janduin.
You don't see him in the columns?
Janduin?
I don't remember, honestly.
I don't think so.
I don't have that book here.
I don't think we ever see him.
Oh, maybe, though, but he would be like the first one you see he's going backwards through his life. So maybe.
But it skips around a lot. I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't have. Let me say.
It goes back generations, but.
Yeah.
It's like the old grandfather the next time you see that guy as a kid, but like.
Oh, Janduin. That's a good one, too. So, yeah, I like Luke. He does have some resemblance to Yosha, and we know Lord Luke is going to be in season 3 from that audition script. And, you know, coincidence that some actor was just discovered named Luke shortly after that. I think it's a plan.
I will just say, Featherston does seem like a fake name.
It does, Luke Featherston. Well, he's British. That's what their names are.
This, I feel like this picture is like very Luke to me.
So, who I first thought he could play. Well, I've heard a couple of people say. So there's two names. I'm going to say one of them. I thought Asmodian. I think he would be a good Asmodian. And I went to look to see. I don't think he has any music in his background. Although I think he was in some musicals, so he probably sang. It looks like he dances. So I thought
you
maybe Asmodian.
If you want to.
Yeah. Leave your friends behind, just like Asmodian did.
That's right.
So I like Asmodian. That's kind of one of people I thought first. You know, Galad was one, but I feel like I can't place the age on this guy. I thought I saw somewhere that he's plays 35 to 40, but I couldn't find his age anywhere. So I don't know. He looks a little older to me to be Galad. I know Galad's around 28, I think, when the books start. This guy looks to me like he's in his mid-30s, maybe even older, but I don't know. Do you guys have any thoughts on this?
I don't think I'm going to be happy with whoever they get to play Galad. I just, like, this guy's very, very handsome. And in my head, I'm like, no, he's not good looking enough to play Galad.
He's no Jude Law.
But I'm like, I don't think there's a person now that I'll see that I'm going to like, that I'm going to think is handsome enough to play Galad.
And it's just like Lanfear, right? When people go, oh, that can't be Lanfear.
Right. Right. I'm going to see her and be like, okay, she's all right. You know, but it's probably the most gorgeous woman I've ever seen, but still not from the way Lanfear is described, like can't live up to that description of Lanfear. Same thing with Galad. So we'll see. He's definitely handsome. I mean, they took Jay Duffy and made him Dane. So we have to keep going up from Jay Duffy.
So, right?
Like everybody can't be gorgeous. You have to let Galad and Berylane and Lanfear aren't going to stand out very much if every single person in this story is drop dead gorgeous.
Really, that's really true. Ridiculously yeah, like, good looking.
I don't know.
Maybe they're not going to be in it. That's why. So they had to.
I guess so. They didn't have to waste it. They could let everybody be hot.
Let's just go right to the top right now. Touch the stars. anyone you're leaning towards, Jen?
I like all the suggestions. I've also heard Gaul.
I thought Gaul too. Another one. That was another one that popped into my head.
But yeah, I don't know. I feel like we're doing it again.
Chiad, man, like, would have some good looking babies.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely.
Gaul is supposed to be good looking, but despite how he's drawn on the cover of Knife of Dreams, but
and I think Gaul's in his 30s, right? He's supposed to be I don't remember exactly how old.
No, I don't think he's older, but I think he's that old.
What about Arosa?
I think he's in his early 30s.
Just said, what about Cooladin?
I don't know. Is he on a surfboard?
Isn't Cooladin a ginger?
So what?
They need to get a ginger. They should get Conan O'Brien to play Cooladin.
I don't think all the Aiel have O'Brien.
The most famous ginger of them all.
You can wear a wig.
Yeah. No, I always pictured Cooladin just being one of those a real, real ready ginger.
Oh, by the way, we have to stop saying ginger. I think that's really offensive to some people.
Is it? Everything's offensive
apparently.
To some people.
I know they are, but apparently.
I know people who are gingers and they don't mind it at all.
I know that. Well, I'm just telling you that.
Okay.
Some people are offended by the word ginger.
Okay. Should we come up with a more PC word for ginger? I don't know. I can't think of one. If someone thinks of a good one, let us know.
So Gaul. Gaul's just a little older than 90. Soulless. There's no age.
Oh,
here.
So he's probably the same age as Galad then, right? 28, maybe 27?
Yeah. He's also 6'7", 240.
Well, Luke Featherstone is 6'2", by the way. I forgot to mention that.
Ooh.
So that would fit on the height with Yosha. Galad is supposed to be kind of tall, too. Not as tall as Rand, but I think he's around that height, 6'2", or something like that, so... But
everyone's huge in the books.
Yeah, I don't know what this. I don't know what any
short,
of this means.
Short men in those books are 5'11".
Yes. Yeah, Matt's 6 foot.
No, yes, Matt's 5'11".
Yeah,
Perrin's
Perrin's 6'2". Perrin's 6'2". Yeah,
2".
Yeah, Matt's short. 6'4". He's taller than me.
He's average height.
Conan's 6'4".
Bananas. Yeah, Conan's got the height for it. There
oh my god!
I think it changes Conadin.
Conadin.
That's our news. I think it's time to end the news segment and go into our main topic of the night, which is a topic that we've pushed back for week after week because we've just been getting such amazing news. But we're finally getting to it. Back at JordanCon, they had announced some new cast members. One of the new cast members they announced was Rima Tewiata as Sheriam. Thus earning Jen some points for her prediction of Rima being Sheriam. I think the only person who's gotten one right so far. So we're going to talk a little bit about Sheriam. Jen, do you want to take us into the first appearance of Sheriam in the books?
Sure. Okay, so this is The Great Hunt, chapter 18, To the White Tower. Okay. Egwene turned. The woman was Aes Sedai. Egwene was sure of it, though she wore no shawl. No one else had that ageless look. And she held herself with an assurance, a confidence that seemed to confirm it. A glance at her hand showed the golden ring, the serpent biting its own tail. The Aes Sedai was a little plump, with a warm smile, and one of the oddest appearing women Egwene had ever seen. Her plumpness could not hide high cheekbones. Her eyes had a tilt to them and were the clearest, palest green, and her hair was almost the color of fire. Egwene barely stopped herself from goggling at that hair, those slightly slanted eyes. Skip down a little. It is a lovely city, Nynaeve said. We are supposed to go to the White Tower. We came here for training, but no one seems to care if we go or stay. They care, the woman said, smiling. I came here to meet you, but I was delayed speaking with the Amyrlin. I am Sheriam, the mistress of novices.
Into Sheriam. So, just a quick summary of the description. So she is about 5'5" tall, slightly plump, with fiery red hair. Pale green eyes. Don't they talk about so much in the books about how it's very rare that people have red hair and green eyes or blue eyes, except for Aiel, and then we meet so many people who have that.
Well, she said she's very strange looking, so maybe that's why.
Yeah, she has the high cheekbones.
Used to it.
Yeah, high cheekbones.
The Saldaean face.
Slightly tilted eyes, the Saldaean face. I can never quite, I always pictured, I guess, Saldaeans as maybe like Turkish.
Yeah. Yep. That's
how I never pictured Shiriam as being Saldaean.
I always forget that she's Saldaean because I never picture her that way. And then I always, like when you read the description, I always have to go back and like, oh no, wait, I have to reimagine her in my head because for some reason I always picture her as like a gray-haired, motherly white lady.
Hmm. Yeah.
So she's described as having a warm and inviting personality, and she's considered strong in the One Power. So she is on the same level as Lyanna and Liandrin, which is like one step below Moraine, Swan, and Elida. So just to give you an idea of the scale on that, I'm going to try to always compare them to characters that are in the show or at least other big characters. But yeah, I don't remember her being that powerful, but yeah, she's pretty powerful.
Yeah, I think it's one of the reasons she's...
Yeah, mistress, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I guess, yeah, it's a power hierarchy. So I imagine people weak in the One Power can never even rise to a position like that, which is interesting.
Well, she was nominated too by... Was she nominated or placed in the position?
Swan. I don't think they need to be voted in. Like, I think the Amarlin assigns them, like appoints them. I don't think there's any kind of vote in the hall.
But if there was like any kind of, if it was like your friend, but she was like weak in the power.
I don't know if that ever happened.
Would there be like any kind of a backlash?
Nepotism?
Yeah.
Well, not nepotism. Cronyism.
What is it? She was, what are they calling the kids now? A Nepo baby.
Nepo babies.
Yeah.
That's Dane.
Yeah.
But Nepo's you're related, so.
I know.
She's a crony baby. I don't know.
A crony baby.
She's a crony baby. She was born in 953, which puts her at 35? No, 45. What? Sorry, 45. Puts her at 45.
What? Aren't we at like 1,000?
Like 997 to start?
998 it starts. Well, it's 953, so it's 45 years old. So she's a little bit older than Swan and Moraine, about 5 years older than them.
I hate when like people are older, like the same age or younger than us, that are like the adults of the story.
Oh yeah, she's only a couple years older than me right now. Yeah, Shiriam. She's,
I'm like, oh,
she's
Morghese is like 45. Great. Yeah.
Yes.
Fantastic.
So that means our kids are not even close to the age of the kids, though, in the books. They're not even kids. So she went to the White Tower at the age of 16. She spent 5 years as a novice and 5 as accepted. So again, to kind of put that in perspective, I think Swan and Moraine spent 3 years each as novice and accepted. So Shiriam there a little bit longer. Something I did not know at first, that she refused her first accepted test.
Yeah.
They asked her, are you ready to take the test? Do you want to go? And she said no. She was scared. She was afraid of it. Let's just get a little bit into that. I have to spoil stuff, I guess.
Yeah, how deep are we going down this rabbit?
I wasn't going to talk.
Spoil stuff.
I wasn't going to talk about events that happened later on, but I have to bring this up because it kind of goes back to her history, and I wanted to kind of ask your opinion, right? So, spoiler alert. Shiriam is Black Aja.
A big shock for me.
Yeah, it was. Oh, that was probably one of the biggest shocks in the entire series, I think, for me.
Yeah.
Was that Shiriam. Averyn, I was like, wasn't shocked about.
Right.
But it was cooler. It was a cooler scene. But yeah, I was totally, didn't see that one coming. So do you think her refusing to take the accepted test out of fear, that represents a weakness and is kind of why she became Black Aja?
Yeah, I could see that. I think a lot of people, they say like, just were like, yeah, I'll be Black Aja, whatever. And then like the end of the age came and they weren't ready for it. Like they didn't know they were gonna have to do all this stuff, you know? So like, I could see her, yeah, like the weakness in her character kind of letting her just like become Black Aja, but not expecting to have to do anything really with it.
Yeah, right. Just kind of hang out and, you know, spy and maybe.
Yeah. Like, I'll do, like,
maybe
easy, evil things.
Set up some
things.
Unfortunate accidents, a couple. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, she, and I don't want to get too much into it, but, right, didn't she, basically, her motivation totally was just to gain power within the Aes Sedai, right? That was it? It was just the power grab?
Yeah, she looked at it as she justified it as, that's what all Aes Sedai do. She's just taking a shortcut.
Yeah. So, interesting, though, because she was... I don't remember now if she was Mistress of Novices before or after she turned. I don't think they talked about that.
I don't remember exactly when, but she turned. I think she was black for quite some time.
Yeah. Okay. So as it accepted, she befriended Moraine and Swan. Actually, Swan almost told her, really wanted to tell Shiriam about the guitarist for telling that Moraine and her saw. This is from A New Spring. So they were very, very close. And obviously that continued on into when they got older. She chose the Blue Aja and bonded Arinvar as her warder shortly after being raised to full sister. Arinvar, there's not really much about him in the story, I think, that we hear. I don't even think we know for sure that he is a dark friend.
I don't know.
Wouldn't he know that she was a dark friend? Just like
he probably does. Yeah.
Or like he knows where she is and like.
Yeah, I'm just saying he probably is. I'm just saying I don't think they ever confirm it in the story. They actually talk about. Oh, that's getting too far ahead. That's way ahead of the books. I'm not going to bring that up. So in 998, Swan is raised. Although I got conflicting reports. It says 992 in the companion.
998. Isn't that like when the story starts?
Sorry, 988. Okay. 988, okay. Swan is raised, or 992, in the companion, she was appointed Mistress of Novices when Swan was raised to Ammerlin. So it's a little conflicting, the companion versus what was in the books. She was actually considered very young to hold that position, just like Swan was young to be the Ammerlin. She was fair and firm. A novice is an accepted, dreaded being sent to her office, because she would switch them. So... she liked to inflict the pain, but she was
very... damn people like to hit each other.
They do, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And others.
They like abuse.
Yeah, others, yeah. But she was very protective of the novices, though. Like, she would protect them from the other Aes Sedai and then the accepted, so. She was particularly skilled in helping channelers overcome their blocks. I did not remember this either. She's the one who helps Theodrin break her block in Lord of Chaos. Hmm. So this was something that she kind of took a special interest in. And we get a little bit of that. We don't spend too much time in the tower, but Nynaeve takes a little interest in Nynaeve for that as well. Because Nynaeve has a block. Wonder if we'll get that in the show.
I think we already got it.
Yeah, he too.
So here's something. Oh, Shiriam's...
I thought you meant. Forget it.
No. I was going to say.
You're asking if we were going to get Nynaeve's block in the show.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I was
like, we already got that. Yeah.
Yeah. What's the word? It was one of those questions, rhetorical questions. Sorry.
Yes. Okay.
One of them there.
I answered
rhetorical
it.
Rhetorical questions. Shiriam was smart though, right? Because we get a lot. We get it in the books all the time. The Aes Sedai numbers are dwindling. Not as many women are found. Who can channel the One Power. You know, we get all the novice quarters are a quarter of the way full. Things like that going on. And one of Shiriam's theories, which she's 100% right, is that by gentling all the male channelers, that they're culling the ability to channel from society, because it is kind of like a genetic ability, even though it's, I don't even want to get into the whole soul and the channeling soul, but there's a connection there with the body and the soul, and both have to have the ability to channel. And it's genetic, and by gentling all these male channelers, that they're not going to have as many channeling babies. And I think also, right, Aes Sedai not marrying is another thing, and not having babies is also culling the ability out.
Yeah.
So you got a double whammy going there.
Channeling babies. Sorry. They're not very good at recruiting either. I don't know. Like,
also...
the Black Tower opens and there's an influx of men there immediately.
Well, because that's like anybody. They're just like anyone who can channel. Well,
maybe they should take anybody.
Well, they also just literally will take anybody who is possibly interested. If you can channel, you stay. If not, you go join the army.
Yeah.
But it's more like they don't go recruiting in the same way that the Black...
Well, Masha Taim goes around, doesn't he?
No, she's the Black Tower does.
Oh, okay. Right, they don't. Yeah. And they just like stumble across heavily. Someone. They're like, oh,
they
go okay,
recruit. They do recruit because they mention it a couple of times. Recruit.
They have to hear about it though.
But they
don't
mention,
like. Go, I don't think they go looking for people. Or they just, if they stumble on someone or hear
it. You're right. You probably hear something through your eyes and ears, and then they go out and they probably start like hunting and trying to find them. You're right. I don't think they're just going out without any direction. But they probably find people along the way too. Like while they're on their journey, trying to hunt down that one lead, I'm sure they're also keeping an eye out for potential channelers. Tavir. But yeah, they're not as aggressive as Taim had like tons of people going out. Everywhere
he also could,
to recruit.
Was making gateways.
Yes.
It was a little faster of a process.
It was a lot faster.
He'll take any age, right? They're saying, yeah, like oh, I'm sorry, you're old too
people. Old. Yeah.
Can be, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, sure. They could definitely recruit more aggressively and probably would find more women because there had to be more women out there. I mean, we know there were more women, right? You had the kin. You know, it's funny. All of the other channeling groups we meet really are all organized. Like, there's no, they don't find women who are alone who can channel really very often in the series, I'm thinking. They run into a couple of women but there's never, they don't run into a lot of those. Everybody's organized and they're all in groups. Just making an observation. So, Jen, as you mentioned, right? She meets the girls, right? We first see her. She meets the girls at the docks in Tar Valon and escorts them to the White Tower. She does show interest in Nynaeve's block when she first hears about it. Here's something I want to ask you if it's going to be in the show. Right? There's that whole dead gray man mystery that happens where they find the arrow, the crossbow bolt. Shiryum shows up and says, don't tell anybody. She'll take care of it. And then later there's a female gray man, by the way. We forgot that they were female gray men, yeah. Even though it's right in the beginning, in Shuriam's bed. You think we're going to get something like this in the show? If we're getting Shuriam.
We might. I mean, there's going to be gray men in the show, right? There has to be.
How do we do? We talk about this every time gray men come up.
They're the ones that like just, they're so plain that you can't see them until they're like right next to you.
Yes.
Yes.
Is that the one that, I don't know which book it is. Rand's like in his rooms, yes. And a bunch of people are there, and it just walks in the door, like right up to him, and nobody sees it.
Yes, yes,
yeah. Like right past everybody. That's yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, it happens in. I'm in the last book in A Memory of Light. It happens in the tent in one of the command tents with Matt. He's the only one who sees him.
That's weird. Like I could see if it's in a big crowd, but like literally just a guy walking past people.
Well,
and nobody
it's like
sees
magic.
It.
It's not. It's just your eyes slide off him. Like I was yeah. I was just reading.
Do they make it look like Predator?
I was reading the scene in Tyr where the guy walks into the room, and like Rand's looking around the room. He's like, I see this, like for whatever it is. He's looking for, I don't remember exactly the context. He's like, there's a pile of books on this chair, and there's that, and there's a guy walking through the door with a knife, yeah, yeah, and there's yeah. this, and there's that. So like it's just in a list of things, and then he's like, yeah. Wait, did I just what? And like the yeah. guy's like right here, and he's like, wait. Yeah.
Do they do like Predator style, like with the, it's just like you can't really see him, but you can see him? Or do they just make it like a really plain looking person? I have no idea. It's the hardest thing to do in television, yeah. in film ever, yeah. to accurately represent a gray man.
Ever.
So it doesn't have to be ever. A gray man in the show, though, but do we get a scene where like, you know, there's a shadow spawner, a dark friend in the tower gets killed, Shuriam shows up and is like, oh, don't tell anybody, I'll take care of this.
I don't know.
Yeah, I like the fact that there's, I always like that because it's like no place is safe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like here's like the one place that you would think, okay, well, you know,
yeah,
you're okay here, and no, there's just assassins inside.
That's like the first thing of that's the first bit of funny business that we get inside the tower, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't even know where because the concept of the Black Aja doesn't it's not in the first book. I don't even know if they could possibly
right?
exist yet. Well, you know there's dark. You know there's Dark Friend Aes Sedai already because there's some at the Dark Friend Social.
Yes,
but I don't know if you know about. You might have heard that. I think they probably introduces it very early.
Is Shuriam at the Dark Friend Social, and is she one of those people sitting around? Has anyone tried to identify Rima in that picture, the Dark Friend Social picture?
No,
I haven't.
She could be in there. I think she's definitely in that scene. I don't know which one.
How many Aes Sedai are there?
No idea because you can't really see their hands.
Their gloves.
Their gloves. It hides the giant ring.
You're wearing Just wearing Ogier gardener gloves.
Yeah.
Ogier gardener gloves. No, I forgot what I was going to say. I was going to say that she is one of the Aes Sedai who heals Matt when they go back to the tower for like the full healing. I know what I wanted to say now. This could be the way that we get like this is our exposition dump. Maybe she's the one who talks about what a block is.
Do you think like she's going to be like a teacher? Do they want to see like classes with teachers?
Yes.
So maybe she'll be like a teacher.
I don't think she's going to be a teacher.
So who's the teachers though? Like other people that we don't know?
Yeah, other Aes Sedai. All these other people we don't know who they're cast as.
I don't know.
I don't remember
Cho Chang.
Cho Chang, Jessica, right? I don't remember any of the Aes Sedai who teach, so.
Yeah, I don't either.
She but does sure teach.
Tyrion does?
She does in the books teach.
I don't remember.
They quote her. They quote her lessons. Like when the girls talk about how Sharyam said this in the lesson, she taught us this, and she remembered she says that.
Oh, okay. So yeah, maybe we will. Just so they don't have to get other Aes Sedai in the show.
Yeah.
How many, what's the over under how many teachers we're going to see? Aes Sedai teachers we'll see.
Three?
Okay. I like it. I'll take the under on that.
Okay.
Say less than that. Is that counting Sharyam?
That's counting her, yes.
Okay.
I'm saying anybody. I include the Amaryllis as a teacher. I don't, you know.
I'm going to ask this question. I'm going to combine it with a question we have in chat here. Rao's asking, will Sharyam spank someone in the show? I'm going to go a step further. Does she switch somebody? She's known to switch.
I don't know. I said maybe we just see somebody walking out, like, rubbing themselves in pain and get the idea that she did it.
Maybe hear a couple of yelps coming from inside the room.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Why don't you just switch them with air? Is that what she uses?
I think probably. I don't remember.
Yeah, I think she's like...
Don't they have like an actual one? I know Sylvianna does, right?
Go out there in the front yard.
A slipper. Dane and Lou saying they use a slipper. I would imagine they use... Oh, they can't use the one power, right? Because that's using it as a weapon.
You cause harm to...
Yeah. So they have to do it with their own hands.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm fairly certain the show will cut down on the large number of spankings and switchings and all the rest of that from the books.
I was going to say, Sharyam can use air to...
Yes, she can, but I don't think she wants to do that in front of everybody. So there's another thing, too, that Sharyam introduces. She introduces a lot of things to us in the books. Because she's present during Egwene's accepted test. There's another possibility where she could be, right? She is the one that Egwene asks about being turned to the Dark One, right? Because I think Egwene's accepted test is the first time we see that, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we first learn about 13 Murdral and 13 Chandlers can turn somebody to the Dark One, to the Shadow. Egwene sees that in her accepted test and then asks Sharyam about it. And that's when we get that piece of information too. So I'll ask you again. Is this something we're going to get in season two? Is this going to be one of those other things that Sharyam teaches us about?
Yes.
Would you like
I
to,
love the fact that that's like a Chekhov's gun, like a book two, that gets cashed in, like in the last book. It should be a constant threat.
Jen?
I think we're going to learn about that, but I still don't know if Egwene's going to have her accepted test, so I don't know if it's going to be at that time. We could still learn about it another way, though.
Mm-hmm. I like her being... There's a good opportunity to put her in a lot of this season. Not a lot, but she could be in a lot of scenes, right? There's a lot of things she does, right? There's the Grey Man thing that we talked about. There's her being present for Egwene's accepted test. Healing Matt, we're not sure if that's going to even happen. He might be fully healed. And then, of course, teaching them, or I don't know if she's going to be the one to escort them to meet them at the docks or however that works, if we even see that. So they could use her for a lot of things. So I hope they kind of put most of these points in there. Otherwise, I don't know what she's going to be doing. Any thoughts, like, outside of what she does in the books that they could possibly use her for or she could possibly be a part of?
She's friends with Swan. So Swan has to have some conversations with people. So
does
she? Could be scenes with, maybe she could talk to Leanne. I don't know. I'm trying to think of, where is Sharyam when, like, the whole coup goes down?
She leaves the tower.
They all just leave?
She's one of the... Yeah, she goes to Saladar.
Yeah.
I mean, She might actually just leave, but like they fight, they lose, and they leave.
They fight. Okay. It's hard. Yeah. Cause you get to see any of that. And that's another thing they'll probably add to the show because we don't really get to see any of that fight.
Yeah. But, I think they'll definitely take the opportunity to show something, some of that. If that time.
Yeah. I think they'll probably, if they're going to play up that her and Swan and Maureen were friends, we'll probably see them together a little bit.
How about you, Tom? You have any thoughts on additional things that Shiriam could do? Or are there anything specifically that you want her to do, even if it's something that's in the books? You're looking forward to favorite scene in those books.
Well, I do want her, and I think we talked about this before. There should be a lot of exposition in season two coming up about how the power works, what it is, what it does, whatever. And I want Shiriam to be one of the people who kind of gives that exposition so that you can start to really get a true understanding of these things. I want viewers to be as surprised as readers were, or at least Joe and I were. I don't know about anybody else in that reveal. So I hope she really establishes her "I am a nice, honest person" bona fides before it gets ripped away from us. The thing I'm wondering about is she's not a comedic character. Like she's not played for laughs, and she's not a particularly like funny, joking kind of a person either.
No.
But will they add some of that, like with Rima being cast?
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know. I don't know if I want Shiriam to be funny.
I want her to be funny. I want her to be funny. Like, I don't want her like be making jokes or things of that nature, but I don't know. Will they add levity to things? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I would definitely like to see, out of all of these scenes that we talked about in the books that she's a part of, I think I'd most want to see probably her be there during Eggwig's accepted test and the whole conversation about the, you know, turning to the dark one in the shadow. That would be the one I think I'd pick. Yeah, as for Rima and how she's going to play Shiriam, because, right, we've seen, I mean, what we saw was a very, very dry comedy. So, I mean,
yeah.
Drier than Bud Dry.
Bud Dry.
Yeah. Why ask why? Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I mean, how is she going to play it straight? She's going to be a dramatic act, you know, play it dramatically. Sharon's very serious in the books. We really don't get much. She's a little jumpy, I would say. That's the one thing I could say.
Can't imagine why.
Yeah. So, I would kind of like her to play it like that, but I mean, if she throws in some comedy, I guess some dry humor every once in a while, I wouldn't be upset about it. Overall, not at all what I pictured sometimes Shiriam looking like, but not what she's described as. So I wonder if they're going to give her any of the physical features, like is she going to wear a red wig or something like that in the show?
Yeah, I don't know. Part of me hopes so, but then part of me is going to be mad because I made the whole stink about Chael not having red hair. To be red hair, so I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I have to say, Mira Sayal's hair looks beautiful as Varen.
Yeah, it does.
So I don't know if they're going to go for the red, fiery red hair for Rima.
There's no need.
No, no.
There's literally no need.
They're going to have to change the backstory a bit if they're going to go into her, Moraine, and Swan being friends.
Oh, yeah.
Because
that's true.
Rima's older than, I mean, what's her face is much older than Rosamund Pike, Sofia Okonedo, but she doesn't look it. She's like in her 50s, Sofia Okonedo.
Oh, bless.
Maybe Rima Tabiata could be Shiriam could be like a mentor figure to them.
Yeah.
And still be close to them, but in like a different way.
Yeah, maybe she was there, one of their teachers, you know, when they were accepted or novices, and she was very nice to them. Oh, wow. I can't believe we talked for this long. Do you want to wrap it up here, or is there anything else about Shiriam? Tom, did you have any
Shiriam backgrounds? I didn't really have any anything that I found.
She's not in Origins, right? We checked there.
Yeah, she's not in Origins. I was looking through interview database. I was looking through a lot of different things. There's really not too much. I mean, Shiriam, I find, is one of those characters who becomes less prominent as the series progresses, right?
Yeah, she does.
Although she still does things, and she's still, you know, she's still present.
You ready to end it, Jen?
Anticlimactic.
I'm not ready to end it, but I'm ready to end the show.
All right. Do we have any new patrons to thank?
We do. We have one new patron joining the company of Chelvannon, somebody named Matt. I don't know if we know him or not.
My cousin's name is Matt.
Yeah. Someone named Matt.
Could be my cousin.
Very, very extremely famous.
Very extremely.
We'll leave it at that.
Like Matt Holliday or
Matthew
Perry?
Matt Perry, Matt McConaughey.
Matthew McConaughey. So you're saying one of these people is our patron?
Are you saying your cousin's Matthew Perry?
My cousin's need to get him on the
Perry.
Show.
He's not
immediately.
A Perry. On my mother's side. But I do have a cousin named Matt. No, I guess, whatever. I don't know. I want to remind everyone to follow. Thank you, Matt. Sorry. Thank you, Matt, for joining the company of Chelvannon. Yes. We appreciate your support.
We definitely do. Thank you.
Follow us on social media. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Join us over in Discord to continue the conversation there. We also post our episodes on YouTube. So be sure to go to our YouTube page and subscribe. Rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts and check out our merchandise and Patreon pages to support us that way. Also check out our new website, www.talkaranriad.com. That's www.talkaranriad.com. Links to all the aforementioned information are included in the show notes to this episode. Thanks, Jen, for the tidbits. Any last words?
Well, happy birthday to my dad this weekend.
Happy birthday.
And my birthday was today.
And your
family
niece.
Birthday time this month.
Yeah. Your own birthday is going to be passing before our next recording. So,
That's
happy
right.
Happy birthday to Jen.
Thank you.
Today is... today's Lou Gehrig Day in Major League Baseball.
That's right.
I'm wearing a End ALS shirt right now. So if you are so inclined and have the capability to do so, it's a terrible disease that is really very widespread and very underfunded. So
there's no cure. Yeah. Thanks, Tom, for sharing that with everyone. Yeah. So everyone have a good night. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And you'll hear us next time.